Thank you. This project, the Korean Health Needs Assessment, started in 2003, and this is a collaboration. And before I get started, I wanted to say I have no relationships to disclose. This is a partnership between UC Berkeley Health Research for Action and also Korean Community Health Center. Health Research for Action is a center that's been founded for almost 30 years by Leonard Sein, and I joined this group back in about 12 years ago, and I'm still working with them to work on translating research into action. And one of these projects was working with the Korean community in the Bay Area to look at the needs. And June would like to speak also a little bit about Korean Community Health Center and how this process got initiated.
So I'm just stepping in briefly just to give you a background of this collaboration. So Korean with other few Asian groups suffer from model minority misconception. So in San Francisco Bay Area, where there are big five counties, there, and then the general perception is that Koreans do not need help in health and social needs. Therefore, you guys don't really need the program support from the county and any government area, the agencies. And then we really didn't have any data to speak for the needs, social health and social needs of the Korean community in the Bay Area. So we approached UC Berkeley, public health, School of Public Health, and then just to create the desegregated data to show for what Korean community needs are. And then that's the background of it.
There's a little more than 25,000 Koreans in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the Korean Community Center serves the large group. And I forget, there's more than 300 churches in the network?
400.
That Korean Community Center's network represents in the San Francisco Bay Area. A little bit about the presentation. We're going to go over the methodology, also discuss the demographic and health profile, focusing on specific components in the findings in terms of focusing on health literacy and mental health, and then also discuss some of the recommendations that we came up with from our report. So for the methods, the main health survey had 342 participants. It was a convenient sample in language, in multi approaches, in-person, telephone, and online interviews in the five-county area of San Francisco. And the main domains we looked at were demographics, civic engagement, health access, health-seeking behavior, health status, healthcare utilization and access, and also cancer screening. We also had a second survey, and then we also compared our results with the California Health Interview Survey. And we had a second survey focused on mental health and domestic violence. And we had 111 participants in that survey in language, and also we used in-person and telephone interviews. And a lot of the surveys for both, we were part of the Affordable Care Act. The Korean Community Center East Bay was a part of the Affordable Care Act outreach and enrollment, and often going out to the churches on the weekend. We also recruited participants there, but also at the Korean Community Center's offices in Oakland. And also there's a list of participants from the communities organizations, clientele list, service list, and also where we recruited from. Again, this mental health survey was focused in the Bay Area, and the domains focused on mental health and intimate partner violence. So a brief overview of our study, 50 plus for the age, 60% gender, 93% born in Korea, three-quarters lived greater than 15 years in the U.S. About three-quarters speak only Korean at home. At the same time, we could see it's some college or higher was 79%, yet poverty was high, 18%. Uninsured was also relatively high, 16%. And some of the reasons they mentioned was they can't afford it or they weren't eligible. Medicaid or other public government insurance was 31%, and they rated their health as self-rated fair or poor at 37%. Kind of striking. And looking at fair or poor health, I'm comparing Bay Area Koreans with the California state average of 19%, more than 2.5 times the rate compared to California. Even across Asians across California is 18%, so very striking. Looking at chronic conditions, hypertension rates for the San Francisco Bay Area Koreans at 31%, compared to the state average of 28%. And also self-reported diabetes, 18%, double the average of the state average. Looking at select cancer screening rates, for those 50 and older, colorectal cancer screening, no screening at 47%. Again, twice as high as the, more than twice as the state average of 22%. Pap smears, 21 plus, never had a pap smear, 30%. 6 times as high in terms of never had a pap smear compared to the California state average. And one of the most vulnerable groups is also older adults. In addition to language access issues, really high rates of fear and poor health, cognitive impairment issues, high rates of hypertension, and really high rates of diabetes, 34%. And next, we wanted to focus on some of the priority areas we found in our findings, focusing on health literacy and mental health. So thinking about health literacy, you know, we really feel this is really not just an emerging issue, but a long-standing issue that hasn't been adequately addressed and really need to think about multifaceted approaches to address this problem. Koreans in the San Francisco Bay Area have fairly high rates, 85% of limited English proficiency compared to the state average. Also, they're very linguistically isolated. So looking at comparing with Latinos on the right, even higher at 72% across California. And then here's some comparisons with Chinese, Japanese, and Filipino, and other Asians. So certainly twice as high as the Asian average in terms of linguistic isolation, in terms of limited English proficiency. Here are some other statistics looking at doctors, difficulties, English language difficulties, you know, really needing help to understand a doctor, almost 90%. More than half said they would prefer to have a doctor who speaks Korean. Almost half prefer to see a Korean doctor, even they had to pay out of pocket. A third of Bay Area Koreans don't have a usual place to go. A third experience delayed care. Even among those who have insurance, more than one quarter reported they don't have a usual place to go when they are sick. So what's happening? So next, I wanted to, June is going to provide some discussions about why this is happening and also kind of the next slides.
So it is Koreans are well known for not insured. I think that California Koreans have 33% of uninsured rate. So when Affordable Care Act hits the road and the Korean Community Center was the Northern California anchor organizations to API outreach and education enrollment, and we thought that, well, this is it. This is a solution. We can give insurance, affordable insurance to everybody. And then after people started to get insurance, we called maybe 300 people to see whether they're using their insurance, and then they're not. Why? And then these were the reasons also we found through our needs assessment. First of all, they do have insurance. They still go to, there's a tourism, medical tourism going back to Korea because it's cheaper and everybody speaks Korean. right? So they don't know how to use their insurance. What are the benefits offered by their insurance they are paying for? So they didn't know that. And also, the U.S. healthcare system is a huge, like, you know, like, bus station. They can never really figure out what's going on. You know, there are 7 pages of things that they need to fill out. They have incredible trouble navigating healthcare system. And then they don't know what their rights are in that Affordable Care Act patients protection, you know, right? So there are a lot of issues related to not seeking health care. Which one do I? Okay. So related to that, they're seeking health information from very many sources. Probably that's true for everybody, but if you look at this chart, they want to see healthcare information from doctors. But there's another chart not represented here, but they're seeking information from mostly 50% and over, seeking from their, you know, friends and families, which is a lot of times not accurate information. So there's a problem. They're using Korean language internet, so there are mixed kind of accuracy in information there. But also that's opportunity to look, you know, what are the sources to engage this population to give them the correct information. And then not only information, they're seeking healthcare other than Western primary healthcare. A lot of them are seeking healthcare from acupuncture and then Oriental medicine. But however, there was a study done last year that a lot of Hep B is transmitted through the acupuncture for Korean and Asian population. So there's a huge problem there as well. So all this data is telling us that it's really important to look at the healthcare system itself and then increase the service of primary care and mental health care, all of that. But problem starts from the outside of the clinical setting. A lot of social determinants of health. So you really need to look at how people behave, what people believe, and start from there. So that was the one, you know, important lesson that we learned. And it is also related to mental health, which was one of our priority areas, 7 priority area. And then it starts from, you know, we did a Kessler 6 scale, and then 18% of the population that we surveyed was at the high risk of serious psychological distress. So if you look at the California average, it's 2%, right? So 18% is strikingly high. And then, as you all know, that serious psychological distress is related to depression if it's untreated. And then Koreans also have high suicide rate, which is 41 out of 1,000 deaths. But again, problem doesn't start from the clinical system. It starts from awareness and, you know, health-seeking behavior, because 18% was at the serious risk of, you know, psychological disorder, and then 9% seek help. I mean, thought that they need help. I have all these issues. I feel depressed. I cannot really relate to my friends, and I cannot really work, but I don't need help, right? So only 9% thought that they needed help, and then out of that, only 3% actually seeked help. So a lot of factors associated with serious psychological disorder, and then distress, and then low service utilization. And then one of the study tells us that immigration and minority status is one of them. So that's common for all the immigrants, but Koreans are from a country where everybody looks like everybody, everybody speaks the same language, most homogeneous countries. So their stress is, part of the stress is coming from there. And then co-stigma and lack awareness and lack of trust about the service provided to Western psychotherapy. And then one very single characteristics that we found, it's known in mental health world now that Koreans has a, you know, it made to DSM. It's called a Hwapyeong. So it's a lot of anger, oppression, you know, in the body, especially for women, and then they were able to express it through bodily symptoms. I have a headache. I can say I have a headache. I have a lot of different issues in my body, but you cannot really say that I have some depression, some psychological problems, because that's not socially acceptable. So that's one of the reasons that Koreans seek acupuncture and Oriental medicine, because there's a philosophy where, like, body and mind as a one set, so it was more socially acceptable. So that's one thing to look at. So all these data is telling us again that, you know, it's really important to have a culturally relevant service, but it's more important to have a culturally effective engagement strategy, because there are so many, you know, services available, but if they are not seeking help, if they don't think they really don't need help, then nothing's going to happen. So that's the basically gist of our recommended, you know, the presentation. So again, just to, you know, common theme, we had a meeting with a probably 40 community-based organization, you know, doing the service for API population, and then the common theme came out was that it's really important to do more of an effective community engagement outside of the clinical setting, and also it's really important to have a cross-sector CBOs and healthcare provider and private-public sector collaboration is really important, and also there should be an equity in partnership as opposed to like government agency, for example, that giving, you know, Cover California is one example that you can use a third party and keep, you know, do the all the translation, coming back to CBOs and saying, well, let's look at the translation, how it went, and then we had to redo it. But there's a, you know, kind of waste of resources going on there. And then also, you know, advocacy needs to be more integrated. So there are a lot of advocacy going on at the different level, but how we can actually do it in a more integrated way to be able to raise the voice from bottom up, right? So thank you.
Thank you.